Please join me in prayer. Holy Spirit, by your power and by your guidance, and all the things that we read there, not sufficient, why do we need this extra Jesus stuff? And a response from early Christians could be, well, God has saved the best for last. In the same way that the steward kind of drive, in this one, Jesus is the groom. But again, the culmination, the longed-for moment is again a wedding. So at the time that John was written, and for most of history, as far as I'm aware, and even for today, a wedding could very well be the most expensive and extravagant event in a person's life. And I don't know if this is the case for you, but weddings are still expensive and extravagant affairs on average. In 2021, even given all the things happening with the coronavirus, the average amount that a couple spent on a wedding, or that was spent on a couple's wedding, was $30,433, which immediately strikes me as a lot of money. And I'm also aware of the fact that I've been to plenty of weddings that clearly cost much less than $30,000. I've also been to weddings that clearly cost more than $30,000. And so I feel like that's a plausible average in my limited experience. Although maybe I've been to more weddings than average as a pastor. It's probably true. Most of a wedding, when you think about it, is a party. And I'm always acutely aware of this when I perform a wedding. We put all this time and energy, or I put a lot of time and energy, into planning what ends up being about 20 to 30 minutes most of the time. Like most weddings that I've done, it's a chance to celebrate. So I met with the family, and we were able to work out the basics of what the wedding ceremony would be like, despite the fact that they're Roman Catholic and I'm Presbyterian, and they speak almost entirely Portuguese, and I speak no Portuguese. I definitely made a lot of use of Google Translate for this whole process. But luckily, they were stressed out, but they were playful people. They were willing to laugh and work with me. And if I didn't say things perfectly, they'd kind of laugh at me and keep going. And we didn't always understand one another. But we got the job done. The wedding was a lot of fun. They were thankful. I suspect they might have gone back to Brazil and had like the real wedding afterwards with everything as they imagined. We do weddings now can become very stressful. I've seen that happen too. But it's still, in a normal person's life, I think, one of the most joyous and extravagant things that we ever do in our lives. More than just a party or even a ritual, because of course a wedding is both, I think that we are called by God to joy. And for the ancient world, that joy was represented by a wedding feast. And there were other ways that that joy came out. If you look at the rules for animal sacrifice in the Old Testament, what you get is something very similar to what we would call a cookout. Because they're grilling meat outdoors, and when you give an animal as a sacrifice, the meat from that sacrifice is supposed to be shared with whoever is present. It's one of the ways that people who were poor got to eat any meat at all. This could be the only meat you would get as a poor person, would be hanging around the temple courtyard during times when there were animal sacrifices going on. The early Christian church gathered together in what they called a love feast, where they would have a feast and a celebration weekly, and everybody was invited. You would have slaves, you would have landowners and employers, employees together, men, women, children, all together celebrating, essentially having a party. Throughout the Middle Ages in Europe, there were a profusion of feast days. There were an incredible amount. There were so many feast days, and you weren't supposed to work on a feast day because it was a sacred day to remember usually a saint or an event from Scripture. There were so many feast days that the average medieval peasant in Europe worked fewer hours a day than we do on average, and worked fewer days a week than we do. The working life of an average person in the United States would be unthinkable to a medieval baron in the 1100s. It's because there are all these feast days, chances to rest, celebrate, get together. When we express joy, when we play, when we're silly, when we have a good time, one of the things we're doing is we're saying that we have more energy than we need to survive. Joyfulness, playfulness is an expression. At the first one we got together, we designed a game that came out at Triennium. The second one we got together, and it was more of a traditional conference. We had speakers and breakout groups and that kind of thing. But what we're looking at is the theology of play. And in research for that conference, I tried looking for people who had written a theology of play, a theology of enjoyment, doing things just for the joy of it. And there's almost nothing. If you look at a lot of the traditional Christian sources around play, they're very almost hostile toward it. It's kind of like, well, you can enjoy yourself if you have to, but really you should be praying and meditating and doing things that are more serious. In the past 100 years or so, one of the few texts I could find was a slim little book by Jürgen Moltmann called The Theology of Play, and he's very hesitant. He's like, well, I guess we could talk about this. I'm not sure why you'd want to, but here are some preliminary thoughts. I'm not sure why it is that we have much less play in our Christian lives than people in medieval Europe would have experienced, or North Africa during the same time. But we still find it. It still bubbles up. You might remember that we had visitations by fairies of happiness over the past couple years. We had Wednesday events hosted just for the joy of it. Joy, the wedding feast, and the celebration that's around that. So as we close, I'd like you to take some time, just a few moments. Close your eyes if that helps you imagine. And I want you to bring yourself back to the last time in your life that you can remember feeling joy. Could be recent, could be a while ago. It's a little harder to come by the past couple years, at least for me. But think back to the last time you felt joy. Think about where you were. Think about who else was there. What were you doing that brought you joy? And how did you respond to this experience? I encourage you to find your own image of joy. To find your own joy, to share that joy with us, with this community. I want to know, and I think others do as well. But to know, when you do, that that joy is only an echo, only a glimpse of the joy that is to come.